Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are truly delighted that you have welcomed us into your home during this beautiful Advent time. We certainly would love to hear from you. So send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. And remember, you can always listen to the show on a podcast. Just go out to EWTN Podcast Central, ewtn.com/radio/podcast, or wherever you happen to listen to your podcast. I know life is full and busy. Here we are in the third week of Advent. It is here, and you don't want to miss the show. Today, we'll be welcoming Father Mark Thibodeau. Now, Father Mark was born in rural Southwest Louisiana in a Cajun family. He entered the Jesuits 37 years ago and has since been a Catholic high school teacher, a novice director, and an author of 8 books on prayer and spirituality. Currently, he serves as pastor to Holy Name of Jesus Church in New Orleans, Louisiana, and he also has a school with it. So today he's going to be joining us to speak about his newest book, Hope and Light for Advent, Guided Reflections to Share How God is Calling Us All to Create Space for the Coming of Christ. Now, in the beginning of Advent, we had Father Franklin on, and Father talked us about preparing, right? Well, here we are. You have 1 week left. Maybe you blew it. Maybe you haven't created space. Maybe you didn't slow down.
Yeah.
Now is the time. It's never too late to reset, restart, say, okay, Lord, here I am. And listen to the show, learn what you could do, make an adjustment, create space and place for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in this life for the next.
I got a new phrase from what you just said. Jesus Christ came for those who've blown it.
This is true.
How many times I've blown it? I've been just like, no, he came to seek and save the lost, the broken, those who've blown it, those who've fallen so low and so deeply that he, by his grace and mercy, might raise you up. Just say yes, yes to him. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Father Mark Thibodeau. He's the author of a beautiful book called Hope and Light for Advent. Here we are in the third week of Advent. You might need some hope. You might need some light. And to learn more about his work, you could go out to his website, hnjchurch.org or jesuits.org. Well, Father, we are excited to have you all the way from Louisiana.
It's wonderful to be with you.
Well, thank you. We enjoyed your book. Here we are, the third week in Advent, right? We just got out of beautiful Gaudete Sunday, where we're to be full of joy. But joy is a byproduct because we intentionally made room for the King.
Yeah. That's right? Exactly right, yeah.
So first tell our family a little bit about Father Mark, where you were raised, your family, your call to the priesthood, and then we're going to chat about this beautiful
And it's nice
book.
To have another Jesuit here, because Father Mitch is with us, and you got a connection with Father Mitch.
I do. I lived with Father Mitch years ago when we were both in Dallas. I was teaching at the Jesuit High School in Dallas, and he was teaching at the seminary, the Dawson Seminary there, and we had a wonderful time. He's a marvelous person to live with. He's a fantastic community Jesuit who just is sort of the life of the party, as you can imagine, you know. So we just had a wonderful several years of living together. So
well, it's good to have you here. Don't be a stranger. Ms. Joyce, so just tell us more about yourself.
Sure. I grew up in Southwest Louisiana. I'm a Cajun, and for those of you who don't know what Cajun means, it's basically French Canadians growing who in the 17th century were in Nova Scotia, Canada. And when the British took over from the French in Nova Scotia, they insisted that these French people, the French Canadians, make an oath of allegiance to the king. And the French said, my ancestors said, no, we have only one allegiance, and that's to God. And so they were thrown out of Nova Scotia, and the British moved British people in. In 1755, they cast them out. It was called Le Grand Dérangement, the great destruction of this whole culture. Eventually, it took a long time, but eventually they settled in Southwest Louisiana. The Spanish were in charge at the time. They were Catholic, so it blended well. And so Cajun people are very proud of their Catholic heritage and the fact that they made the great sacrifice And we believe we're a better people because of it. So I grew up Cajun, and Cajuns are very furiously Catholic. The Southwest Louisiana, I grew up in my hometown is Church Point, so it's all about the church, altar boy, and so forth. And I wanted to be a priest since I was a little kid. I hardly remember a time when I didn't want to be a priest. And so I entered the Jesuits at the age of 18 and never looked back.
Wow. Well, thank you for your great yes.
Yeah, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to be here. I've loved my life as a Jesuit priest. It's been a wonderful, wonderful adventure.
Yeah.
Great.
And being in Louisiana is a good place to be.
Oh, my goodness.
Good
I love
food.
Louisiana.
Good
food.
Good football.
Family-oriented football and everything else. We just have such a great time in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
well, you might not want to talk too much about the football team in Alabama. But anyway.
Well, you're right. That's true.
I don't watch it. So, love the book.
Thank you so much.
Really did. And Advent's one of my favorite seasons, our favorite season. But your insights and illustrations and what you've shared, so many word pictures, just really fantastic for this special season and beyond the season, because there's a lot of truths here that you can take and just carry to others and carry to the world. One of the things you say in your book is Gabriel is on the move. Mm. Yeah. Gabriel is in search of another womb.
Yes.
So what do you mean by that? I mean, that's...
Yes. So Bernard de Clairvaux talked about how there's actually three comings of Christ. And we think about the coming of Christ 2,000 years ago in this very special moment that will never be repeated, huh? That is a sui generis moment in human history, this one moment in time. So that was the first coming. And of course, there'll be the second coming, which is the end of time, the eschaton, the parousia. But Bernard de Clairvaux talked about the middle coming, the in-between coming, and that's Christ coming today in our life. And it's true that Christ came in a very unique way 2,000 years ago. Nonetheless, God wants to continue to manifest himself again and again in our world. He wants to keep coming back. Like Christ comes again and again and again, as a matter of fact. Yeah. And so Christ wants to come in 2026.
Yes.
And if that's true, if Christ wants to come in 2026, then Gabriel's on the move. Gabriel is looking for another womb.
Right.
Gabriel is looking for another yes, another fiat, another let it be from another Mary, who says, yes, I'll bear Christ for the world. And Gabriel is waiting for our yes.
Yes. And so every day on this journey, especially during Advent, there is an opportunity for us to make room in the inn, to make space in our souls, to say yes to the Lord. It's not like I did that one time and I'm good. Like, no, every day there's this constant conversion, because you have to die, I have to die, so he can live. right?
That's absolutely.
But he needs our participation, just as in the Blessed Mother and in St. Joseph.
Yes. Yes, I think it's not a small detail. I think it's an important detail, the story of the innkeepers who said no, who said there's no room. I think that's an important part of the story because it reminds us that perhaps you and I are saying no. Yeah. Perhaps you and I are stopping Jesus at the door, stopping Joseph and Mary at the door. And Advent calls us to make a space, And you know, our world is busier than ever, right? And it's really too stuffed, right? Too stuffed with stuff, too stuffed with activity. So more than ever, we want to say, oh no, there's no time. We have no time, we have no space. And so I think Advent calls us to make a space, create a space, so that we can open that door wide for Christ when he comes again.
Do you share in your book, and maybe it was just something I'm recalling maybe in a wrong way or something, but we have to make space, but there are situations and circumstances where it just seems like God's making space within us, and we don't realize he's trying to make space to come. So in one sense, you know, we have to pick up the cross and follow him. In another sense, sometimes we get the cross laid on us.
Yes.
Sometimes we make space, but sometimes circumstances and situations, it's kind of like what's supposed to be in the space?
Yes.
Share about that.
Yes. Yes, I think ultimately we are the recipient, right, of grace. All of the good comes from God, right? And so it's really God that's going to make the space for us, and really God who's going to birth a new manifestation of God through us. You know, when Mary said, how can this be? There's no human way that this could be. The angel Gabriel said, no, the Holy Spirit is going to take care of this.
Yes.
And so it's the Holy Spirit who ultimately makes the space within us. We don't really even have the ability to even do that. Mm-hmm. We don't even have the ability to make a space. We have to ask the Lord to do that for us.
Well, and that's during Advent, if we're listening to the readings, or we're just hurrying ourselves into church and we're not opening our ears and our eyes and our hearts. One of the famous readings is from Isaiah about the lion and the lamb. And you talk about the good and the bad inside of us.
Yes.
Tell our family that illustration that you used.
Sure, sure. It's one of my favorite readings from Advent is the lion will lie with the lamb and the child will play at the adder's den and so forth. It's a beautiful, beautiful image of all of these animals in creation that normally are known to be, let's say, acrimonious with one another, now living in peace and harmony together. And this is the great vision of what the world will be when Eden is restored, the Garden of Eden is restored. And I think that perhaps we humanity and even Christianity itself, we used to have a sort of naive idea that there were good people and bad people. Mm-hmm. We're the good people, and God's going to come and straighten out those bad people. But now, sadly, we've had too much experience to deny that actually I am the lamb, but I'm also the lion. I am the cow, but I'm also the snake. I'm all of that inside of me, that the line between good and evil passes right through me. And so what we're really praying for is that this lion and the lamb, this adder and this child, all of it come together, beginning with me, beginning with my own heart. It has to begin there. And only then can we be peacemakers for the world.
That's
it's also telling, if you don't mind, it's also telling that this passage, this Isaiah passage, it doesn't say he's going to destroy the snake or destroy the lion or destroy the adder. No, he's going to domesticate them. He's going to teach them how to live at peace.
Right.
And so Christ isn't interested in destroying anything in us. He's interested in making it all holy, making it, restoring it back to its original created beauty that God created us to be.
That's right. Profound. I must say I've read that passage numerous times and I have not applied it to myself personally, like you're saying, because I'm thinking like this is a bigger thing, a grand thing that's going to happen in the world and bring peace to the nations of the earth and all that. But you're saying, no, these creatures that don't get along live in you.
Yes, exactly.
And so it's kind of like, okay. And the Holy Spirit, God's grace, mercy, the sacraments, he wants to domesticate these animals in you.
Right. That's precisely right. You know, it's a little bit safe to think of, okay, the lion and the lamb, that's, you know, Ukraine and Russia. Right. Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. But it's very safe for me to talk about the lion and the lamb being across the ocean. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It gets a little scary when we start talking about the lion and the lamb inside of me. Mm-hmm. Now it's going to require me surrendering to allow the Lord to domesticate all of me so that we can live in peace, all of the members of my own self, my own
body. Is good news for those of us that are, you know, reckoning with that. I think especially, well, I don't want to go beyond normal people to speak about those with addictions, which many of us have, but it's hopeful.
Yes,
because,
of course.
Because you're in that thing, my life is out of control and I need help beyond myself, right? AA kind of thing there. It sounds like St. Paul to me. St. Paul is saying, the things I don't want to do, I'm doing. The things I don't want to do, I am doing. Who will deliver me from this bondage of death? I mean, if St. Paul is saying that, you know, who am I? You're just keeping it outside, like you said, between nations. So, no, but it's hopeful. It's saying, like, I am not in control here.
Yes.
I'm trying as best I can. And you do have to give your volition to that. But I need help beyond me.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
what you're saying. That's hopeful.
Yes. Yes, it is, isn't it? That all of us want to be at peace within ourselves. Huh? Mm-hmm. We all want that. We're all yearning for that. Mm-hmm. Huh? This is something that we've been longing for our whole life. And now we know that Christ, the Prince of Peace, is going to come and he's going to start right here. He's going to start right in my own heart.
Mm-hmm. But it isn't a self-improvement program. It's a conversion program.
It's
yielding, it's surrendering, and it's crying out to God and saying, Lord, have mercy on me. I mean, I do this and I don't want to do this. And you know how we get with ourselves, we can hate ourselves.
Yes.
And it's like, no, I love you. Right. And I have mercy to you. I need for you to have mercy to yourself.
Yes. You know, if it's a self-improvement program, then that means I'm my own savior.
Yeah.
Which is not going to work.
No.
I've tried that. It doesn't work.
So
it has to be the Lord. Huh? Mm-hmm. It has to be the Lord. I love, you know, Mary says, let it be done unto me. So who's the subject of the sentence there? The Lord is the subject, the Holy Spirit. Let it be done unto me.
Mm-hmm.
She's not saying, I will do it.
Right.
I'll do that. Mm-hmm. No. The Holy Spirit's going to do it.
Yeah.
So Mary's teaching us. Yeah. No, it's the Lord.
Yes.
This is not a self-improvement program. This is about allowing the Lord to come in and be the peacemaker for us.
That gets back to the whole space thing, when we have to make space. But then the Lord's asking us to do something, receive something, say, I didn't even know that space existed. You're saying it exists? Then you've got to do this within me.
Amen.
We're going to take a break at this point. We're going to hold you over for the final segment. The book again, Hope and Light for Advent, Guided Reflections, EWTNRC.com. Go there. Get the book. It's a must read for this season and beyond this season. The illustrations, Father's unpacking of Scripture, what that means, you know, for us personally, what the Lord wants to do in residing in us, gestating within us, that we might bring him forth before other people and have him be born again.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord be born again, to be seen again. The nativity comes forth in front of people. You're asking me to do that, Lord? That's a space I didn't know I had to even bring this to other people. Plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Please don't go away. Finishing our conversation with Father Mark Thibodeau and his wonderful book, Hope and Light for Advent, Guided Reflections. Can't recommend it more strongly to you to get it. It'd be great all year round. So, Father, you've been unpacking some scriptures for us, the lion and the lamb, and what that means. That hurts a little bit because you said it was personally. Okay. But you speak about abundance. When Christ comes, he brings abundance. And I would take that to mean it is nativity, the second coming, and perpetually. So he's not kind of rationing his stuff here. Unpack that more fully. God gives abundance. He wants us to feast.
Yes, and this week in particular is a wonderful week to talk about abundance since it's Gaudete. Mm-hmm. And I must stop and say how impressed I am that you guys dressed for Gaudete. That's quite impressive.
I got the pink. Thanks for noticing that.
Yes, I think Christ comes with abundance. In John's gospel, Jesus's first miracle is the wedding of Cana. And in the wedding of Cana, it's not just that he provides wine. And by the way, why is it so important that we provide wine? It's not that Mary loved wine, but she probably did like wine, but that's not why Mary was so concerned. In Jesus's day, the wedding couple needed to show that they can provide for the community. And this would set the tone for their status in the village. And so Mary did not want this poor couple to be known as people who could not provide. Mm-hmm. That's why Mary came to Jesus and said they had no wine. But in the end, we hear that it's not just that he provided wine, but he provided the best of wine, the finest of wine. And it's not just that he provided fine wine, but he provided 180 mm-hmm. gallons mm-hmm. of wine. Can you imagine 180 gallons? This would be enough for the entire village for quite a while. Mm-hmm. This would last quite a while. It's this extraordinary abundance.
Sounds like he was in New Orleans or something.
That's right. It's a Mardi Gras time. But Jesus, it's not just about, no, he'll take care of, he'll fill in the hole. No. It's mm-hmm. not that. It's abundance. Everything explodes mm-hmm. with grace and mercy, right? That, you know, St. Paul says, always having all you need. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things St. Paul says, always having all you need. Mm-hmm. We have everything in abundance. And this happens again and again in Jesus' life. You know, the multiplication of the loaves, which actually happens more than once mm-hmm. in Jesus' life. Again and again, we have 12 basketfuls left over. Mm-hmm. And in Jesus' day, scripture scholars would tell you, the poor people of Israel, they never experienced being full. Mm-hmm. We Americans were full all the time. We eat too much all the time. But they never ate enough to mm-hmm. be full. They never even experienced that experience of being mm-hmm. full. So you imagine the first time in their life, they can't fit another morsel mm-hmm. inside mm-hmm. of them. So this is an extraordinary message to us that when Jesus comes, Jesus brings an explosion of abundance for mm-hmm. us.
Thank you. We just have about a minute left. Father, I'd like you just to close us with a very brief prayer and with a blessing for mm-hmm. our audience.
I'd be mm-hmm. delighted to do so. Almighty God, we thank you and we praise you for all of the great gifts you've given us. In this Advent season, we thank you for the great gift of the incarnation. Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for choosing to be one of us, Lord, so that you can save us in this very special way, this remarkable way. We ask your blessing upon everyone in this room, but everyone who has led us into their rooms this day, Lord. Bless everyone listening, watching to this show this day and always, Lord. Bring us all your grace, your presence of Christ in our lives. Amen.
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 Thank you, Father.
Hope and Light for Advent Guided Reflections, EW10RC.com. And join us again on Thursday. We'll continue with Father Mark unpacking this wonderful book and the various scriptures and illustrations and word pictures and reality of the Lord who came to give us life, as Father said, and to give it abundantly. Not a little bit of life, but abundant life. God bless you and all of your loved ones. You're an important part of this EW10 family. You're never alone, and you're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.
Good job.
It's so good.